our hands together for Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Well, why don't you take your seats? God is so good. Hallelujah. You know, there's this word, internalize. And it has a couple of meanings, but there's one which is to do with the way that we are in relation to our emotions and feelings. If you can just, Godfrey, put the definition up there. So that the definition of internalize is not allowing emotion or feelings to show even though you think about them. So it's the kind of pushing down, either regularly, some people do it all the time, and some people just do it some of the time. But it's essentially when there's some emotion, when there's something stirring on the inside, it's just kind of pushing it, capping it, holding it, constraining it. So just before we get into the message, I'd love to ask, how many of you know that to some degree, for some of you it'll be, you know what, that's how I live. And often for men, that's an issue. But I was surprised when I once asked this, how many women as well. So this is a human default for many, many people. But how many of you would say, yes, you know that to some extent or another, you internalize? Put your hand up. Let's have some truth in the house. Okay, so that's the majority of people. I just want to get into God's word. I want you to keep that at the back of your mind. Bear it in mind as we get into God's word. You know, King David, how many of you love to read about David? You know, I think one of the things we love about David is that he was so real. And I think we also love that he messed up. And that God forgave him even though he messed up. Anyone else love that about David? You know, it gives me permission not to, don't worry, my love. But you understand what I'm saying. You know, we can take that definition down, thank you. But you know, what the Bible says in the book of Acts, in Acts 13, verse 22, God himself says, I found David. Did you know God's looking for you? Right. You know, he's found you to a certain extent, but you know he's still looking for you? Say, just put your hand up and say, God is looking for me. And the Bible says, I have found David. A man after my own heart, he will do everything. Say everything. Everything. He will do everything I want him to. Wow, you know, that's, and we hear many people reference that scripture because it's quite a profound verse in the Bible, isn't it? You know, I would love God to say, I have found Joe, right. A woman after my own heart. Wow. I think it's one of the most extraordinary endorsements in the Bible. Because, you know, most of us are after our own interests. You know, it's just the truth. So don't worry, you know, you're not having to admit some huge, you know, massive issue. Yeah, most of us are after our own issues. We live our lives to make sure it's all well for us, our family. You know, we see our children doing well and we think, great, it's all well. You know, but David had a really high goal in his life, and he was after the heart of God. And, you know, the funny thing is, you know, when we read the Bible, you know, sometimes you read, and has anyone ever read books? I mentioned this yesterday. I used to avoid Ecclesiastes because I just found it too confusing. Honestly, I know my husband, from the moment he read it, was like enamored with it, and I'd be like, what is he reading that I'm not seeing there? You know, but let me tell you about how I used to read the Psalms. And I want you to tell me if you know what I'm saying. So, I'd be reading the Psalms, and then I'd get to the negative bits. Do you know what I'd do? I'd jump straight past all the negativity and think, gosh, this man had no faith. Is it all right to be real? So I'd jump past all the negativity, and then I'd get to the, I will trust the Lord with all of my heart. I will raise up a banner in my nation. I would underline all those bits and celebrate, and then I'd turn to the next psalm and do the same. I would jump past all the negativity, all the doubting and fearing and all that stuff, and then I'd move on to the rest. How many of you have done that, where you've just skipped the negativity? Wave at me if you've done it. You've skipped the negativity because you thought, I don't need any of that in my life. I got enough anyway. You know, I mean, you want to meet my friends and you'll realize I don't need David's stuff in my life, right? So why is it there? Why is all that what I used to call junk? I'm just being real. I started reading my Bible when I was about 14. So, you know, I didn't know what I was reading. But why is that all there? I want to read Psalm 13, and I want us to look at it in the Message Bible. Now, the Message Bible isn't a direct translation, but what it does is that it gives us a 21st century feel for what the scripture is expressing. It just puts the Bible into an expression that is relevant to us using language that we understand and we get and we know. So I want to read Psalm 13 in the Message. It says, long enough, God. You've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Keep it coming quick, please. Long enough I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. Long enough my arrogant enemies have looked down their noses at me. Take a good look at me, God. My God. Want a good look at life in the eye? No enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. This is the point where I would have started reading. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of answered prayers. Hallelujah. So you see, what we get with this is, in fact, let me tell you what I believe the Psalms is. I believe that the Psalms is this model laid before you and me of how God wants us to interact with him. Are you hearing me? You see, how is it that David, who, go back to verse 1. Long enough, God. You've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Right. This is a man who's feeling neglected. Ever felt that God isn't answering your prayers? Have you ever felt like that? Yeah. So did David. Verse 2. Long enough I've carried this ton of trouble, lived with a stomach full of pain. This is a man who's saying, do you know what? I'm fed up of fighting. I'm fed up of just contending with one issue after another issue of another issue. Any of you ever felt like that? Wave at me if you've ever felt like that. You see, but if we flip again to verse 6, how is it that this man who was in that state was able to get to this place where he's gone from, God, you're not even listening to me. I feel like I'm talking to a brick wall. I can't take it anymore. And somehow that amazing leader reaches that place, and I want to look at how I believe he gets there. You know, I want to make a statement, and it's this. Bottling is bad for your health. Turn to your neighbor and say, bottling is bad for your health. You know, we think it's normal. And we think it's okay to live a life where what we do is we essentially ignore all the feelings that are coming up on the inside. We push it down. We go, oh, well, it doesn't matter. In fact, half of the time we don't even reach the place of it doesn't matter because we're not very good at listening to our own souls. So we don't even know that we're troubled. We just get back at the end of a day at work where, you know, the boss has undermined us, where colleagues have got promoted over us, where the photocopier broke down 617 times. And instead of expressing anything, you know, when our son walks through the door, you know, and does some little thing that he shouldn't have done, we slam the door, get furious, and just walk out and say, "What is wrong with this family?" Turn to your neighbor and say, "She's talking to you." Bottling is bad for your health. Are you hearing me? You know, the Bible says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Do you know what happens when we bottle, when we internalize, when we subdue all our emotions? Is our souls stagnate. They no longer become a place from which the Spirit of God can flow from within us. They become this murky pond. And then we wonder why we're feeling dry and discouraged and down and beat up. Has anyone else ever been there? Yeah. When you're thinking, well, it's not one thing, but I'm just so fed up now. I've had enough now of everything going on around me. Bottling is bad for your health. You know, there are so many scriptures that talk about the depth of the human heart. In Psalm 64, verse 6, it says that the inner thought and heart of man are deep. Say, my inner thoughts are deep. In other words, you have thoughts that aren't the ones that are kind of right at the front of your consciousness. You know, when I used to do a lot of management coaching and management mentoring, one of the things I used to talk about as a way of expressing this Bible principle, you know, all of my mentoring and management coaching was based on the Bible. And one of the ways I used to express this was that we have a twilight zone. And it's in that twilight zone where there's all sorts of things going on the inside, but we're kind of not aware of it. You see, the inner thought and heart of man are deep. That word inner thought, when you look it up in the Hebrew, actually the way it could be expressed is your heart thoughts. So you have your brain or your head thoughts. But then you have these heart thoughts. And you see, sometimes they don't even have words yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They're a reaction. They're an emotion. They're a way that we are feeling, but we don't know how to express it. We don't know how to pinpoint what's going on the inside. And you see, that's part of the reason why some of us bottle a lot, because we don't even know how it is that we're feeling. Are you hearing me? And the interesting thing is, God actually sent prophets to reveal the thoughts of people's hearts. Are you hearing me? Have you ever had Prophet Kathy Lechner stand in front of you, and what you realize she's actually doing? Yes, she's saying a bunch of words about a bunch of things that are absolutely accurate, but what she's really doing is revealing the issue of your heart that you've never spoken about, that you've never articulated, that you've never been able to pinpoint. That's what I feel. I remember when she spoke to you, Ronke, and she gave you a word, and it set you free. Because the word she gave you, this is me remembering it in my language, was, you're different, you're fun, you're outlandish, you're extravagant, and I love it, says the Lord. I made you like that, and I love you the way you are. Ronke's weeping. Why is she weeping? Because the prophet had articulated her inner thought, which was, I'm not allowed to be me because I'm just a bit noisier than other people. I'm married to this very subdued, dignified man, unless there's a football match on. You want to hear this man when Arsenal are playing. It's noisy, you know, but she's thinking, I'm too much. Am I right? You know, and the words came, and it revealed the biggest, you know, this pain in her heart that she couldn't even articulate. It revealed the thoughts of our heart and then brought the answers to the thoughts of our heart. Daniel, speaking about the prophetic, said to the king, he said, this is coming that you may know, Daniel 2:30, that you may know, acknowledge, express, deal with. Why do we need to know something? God doesn't want us to know anything for knowledge's sake. He wants you to know what's in the depths of your heart so that you can deal with what's in the depths of your heart. Are you hearing me? And the prophetic word came that you may know, understand, deal with, express the thoughts of your heart. That's for many years been a prayer of mine because I saw it in the life of Jesus, where it would again and again and again say that he knew the thoughts of the hearts of the people. You don't know how many times I've prayed, Father, let me know the thoughts of the hearts of your people, that I may be able to bring a word that will help set them free. Are you hearing me? And you know, people say to me, I feel, you know, I've had it so many times said to me. They'll say, you know, I feel when you're looking at me that you're looking into my soul. So many people have said that to me. Someone again said it in America just a couple of weeks ago. And you know, the honest truth is, I can't see into anyone's soul. I'm not looking someone's eyes and like beyond the blue, shining beautifully back at me. Don't get distracted, Joe. Especially seeing as I'm a French fancy today. You know, I'm not looking into Marilyn's eyes and going way past and sort of, you know, penetrating down and seeing. No, but I've been praying that when I communicate with people, that the thoughts of their own hearts will be expressed. And yes, I see issues that people are carrying around. I see pain. I see discouragement. I see sadness. But what it is it's the Holy Spirit looking into your eyes. It's the Holy Spirit penetrating into the depths of your heart because he wants you to connect with your heart thoughts. He wants you to acknowledge and give a voice to your heart thoughts. You know, just to go back to David for a little while, if I can borrow some volunteers, in fact, Roro, Tim, Sarah, Bolu, Alero, Yemi, Terry, I need nine, so if you guys count, how many have I got? So if you just stand in a row. Thank you, Timmy. One, two, are we at nine now? We are. I think we really are. I think we're at nine. I think we're at nine. So, you see, the thing about David... Sacked, but not rejected. The thing about David, you see, was that he had learned how to express himself. Are you listening to me? What do you do when you feel frustrated? You're just frustrated because everything you do just isn't good enough. Your boss never notices any of the successes and only notices when you mess up. What about the frustrations at home, living in a marriage, and yes, you're believing God for it to be transformed and healed, but you know, every time you look into the eyes of your wife or your husband, you just see coldness. You see someone who seems dead, someone who doesn't seem to even be in love with you anymore. What do you do with that? What do you do with just feeling really angry that, you know what, why is it that all these people who are constantly doing the wrong thing, lying, fraud, and yet they're prospering. You know, why are they doing well? Why are they getting promoted? I'm just angry about that. Anyone ever been there? You know, and do you know what David did? He expressed himself. Let me give you just some that I looked at because we could have been here all day. In Psalm 3, David's saying to God, I'm just confused. I don't get what's going on. I've had enough with everything around me and I'm fed up of all this, Lord. In Psalm 6, he's saying, I'm hurt. I'm wounded, God. And he's crying his heart out all night long before the Lord. In Psalm 10, he's frustrated. He's just frustrated. He's frustrated with, you know, in today's it may have been just every single light I came to was red. God knows I'm in a rush of getting home. And every light was red. Not only that, but get home and the dog's eaten the carpet, the cat's pooped in the sitting room. I'm just frustrated with life. Well, in Psalm 10, David talked about it. Psalm 12, he was discouraged. Who did he tell? Poured out his heart. In Psalm 13, David was bewildered. He couldn't understand why. You know, all these people who are pursuing him day and night, and it's just carrying on. Why has nothing changed? Why am I still in this same place? In Psalm 22, he felt totally and utterly rejected. Yes, we know that's a prophetic psalm about Jesus, and Jesus repeated those words. But let me tell you how God was able to use David. Was he had a man who would express it when he's saying, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? When people look at me, they revile me. You know, something about 10 years living rough. Anyone here ever lived rough for 10 years? No. David did. And he said, people are reviling the way I look. In Psalm 35, the guy's angry. He's angry. He's cross. In Psalm 38, sorry, Yemi. He's guilty. But let me tell you what he does when he's feeling guilty. He doesn't separate himself from God. He doesn't go, well, I better not go to church because you didn't see what I did yesterday. You didn't see what came out my mouth. You didn't see the place I went or the people I was with or what I did. He doesn't say, you know what, I can't go to God in prayer because I just snapped at my wife, just bit her head off, tore her down. No, he goes to God and says, God, I messed up again. I messed up, Lord. And in Psalm 64, David is sad. 9 different emotions that are strong, powerful leader. Are you hearing me? A mighty man of valor. You see, we associate somehow internalization with strength. It's a lie. Turn to your neighbor and say, bottling is bad for your health. 9 different human emotions that a man that God said, anything I want this boy to do, he'll do it. Let me tell you why he would do it. Because yes, he got really hacked off yesterday. Yes, somebody cut him up, put him down, made him feel this big. But instead of saying there, he came before God and he said, Father, God, that hurt yesterday. These leaders that you sent to help me, all they're doing is hindering me. It hurt. I can't handle it anymore. And he poured out his heart like water before the face of the Lord. Then he got back up, healed, refreshed, restored, praising Jesus again. Thank you so much, guys. You know, I believe that the Psalms are like a journal. Yes, I know they're songs, and you know, do we know for sure that they were all songs? Who knows? I was always told that. But that's some weird stuff to sing. You know, who knows? Maybe they are all songs, and maybe he was some very interesting kind of, you know, music writer, songwriter. But this is like a journal. This is a prayer diary. I believe the Psalms are there for you and I to learn how to stay happy. You know, let me just give you a couple of examples recently in my own life. You know, we took wonderful team from here. You know, thank you, Harvest, that you are launching an awesome ministry, not just here in the UK, but in America as well. You know, we could not do this without you. And we went and we took Healed for Life to Florida, and it was awesome. God touched and transformed lives. I mean, you know, the testimonies were incredible of, you know, ministers who'd literally thrown the towel in and given up because of the stuff they'd gone through. And just at the end of 2 days, going, wow, I'm ready to fight again. You know, we had husbands saying we got new wives, and children saying my parents are completely different. But you see, it was hard work. Anyone ever felt that you're working hard? Wave at me if you just feel sometimes this is a lot of hard work. That's why it's called labor. You know, and I woke up Sunday morning after Healed for Life was over. And I woke up 6 o'clock, 20 to 6, and I just felt awful. I just felt exhausted. And all I could see ahead of me, you know, I wasn't in that moment remembering the testimonies of 24 hours earlier, not even that. All I was feeling was, oh my goodness, and we've got to do all this all over again. Oh my goodness, Lord, this was so hard. And let me tell you what I did. I woke up, you know, and I got myself out of bed and I just fell on my knees before the Lord and I said, God, I'm tired. Lord, I feel like all I've been doing for weeks and months is pushing and pushing and pushing. And now we're supposed to take this to the whole nation of America. It's rather large. Anyone notice 300 million people? And I was just feeling so flat, so empty, so just void of joy. So I cried in the presence of God for about 10 minutes. I texted my dear friend in Uganda and said, just pray for me. She was way hours ahead, so I knew she'd be awake. I said, pray for me. Do you know what? 5 minutes later, I hop back up off the ground and start to praise Jesus. Are you hearing me? Many of you, the reason you're tired, the reason you're weary, is because what you might have done is come home from work and said to the husband or the wife, oh, I'm just tired. Too much on at the moment. Just too much going on. But what you're doing is you're whining at the wrong person. Are you hearing me? You know, your husband, your wife cannot refresh you. Well, you know, we won't go there. This isn't a marriage seminar. You know, we've got to learn. You see, if I bottle, then sooner or later I may burst. Ever wondered what an outburst of rage is? It's when anger is bottled. David knew. That was a man of war, David. David was a man of war, so he knew how to release his anger in the right place, at the right time. You know, if we bottle, then we may have an outburst. We may just find ourselves just feeling broken, just discouraged and down and dry and all those things. But you see, when we learn how to release what's going on the inside in the presence of God, we can come out His presence happy. That's why all of these psalms are half stuff. Say stuff. David dumped his stuff. He said his stuff. Some of you have never said your stuff. You've never gone into the presence of God and just said, yesterday made me feel humiliated, Lord. I'm supposed to be the man of this family. I'm supposed to be providing for my wife and children, and all I'm seeing is bills building up. God, I feel like I'm not the husband I'm supposed to be. I feel like a failure. You see, if you express that in your prayer closet, God, I feel like I messed up as a mother. God, I'm not the mother I should be. Lord, I want to be a good mother. You see, these things are hard to say because they're very personal. They're the inner thoughts. Say inner thought. But if you'll get into the presence of God, you'll say, God, I don't feel like I'm as good a mother. I've got a really good friend, you know, and she is an earth mother. She is an earth mother. She is not only earth mother, she's super mother. She's super earth mother. She's coming in a couple of weeks, so don't go up to her and say, oh, so you're the super earth mother. But she has 7 children, 3 adopted, and she's constantly providing entertainment and parties and games and fun and healthy dinners. She never uses a sauce from a tin. Or a jar. And I'm not telling you whether I do or not. I'm not telling you. You know, she has it all going. And she works. You know, and sometimes we look at that and we go, oh my goodness. You know, thank God my children are coming to Healed for Life. Thank God. And you know, I've already lined up that there's people they can talk to and say anything about me to them. I have, you know, anything Benji needs to say about anything that I've done that's messed him up, he's going to have someone to pour it out to. Are you hearing me? You know, but we can feel all that. And if we just feel it all, but we do nothing with it all, let me tell you what kind of mother we'll become. A worse mother. Because condemnation will be hanging over us. We may even start resenting the woman who's a great mother. Looking at them going, oh, well, you know, aha, the toilet paper has run out in your bathroom. I would have you know, I do not only have one on the roll holder, but I have three spares. Yes, I do. So who's the good mother now? You know, you see, if we don't deal with it, it turns into dryness, resentment, sadness, frustration, anger, offense. But if I come into the presence of God and say, Lord, I can't be as good as Claire. Are you hearing me? Very real. I'm not her God and I can't do what she does. And then suddenly, as I'm pouring out my heart, I hear the still small voice saying, I don't want you to be like anyone else, Joe. I want you to just be you. And you know what? You're a better mother than you were a year ago. And you're a better mother than you were 3 years ago. And every day, you're becoming a better mother. You see, when we have an outlet for these things, then we're able to leave it in the presence of God and get refreshed, get built up. You know, we're able to be transformed in his presence. Psalm 51, verse 6 says, speaking of God, you desire truth in the inward parts. Do you know what I believe this verse, about this verse? You see, I think it's an exchange here. I think that when I go to God and I say, Father, you know, I want to be the kind of mother that my children want to talk to. But God, they don't talk to me much at the moment. I'm expressing and I'm showing you how to do this thing. God, I'm so busy and focused and how can I be that mother? God, I don't feel I'm that mother, but I want to be that mother. God, I'm not that mother. As I express the truth, my inner thoughts, from the depths of my innermost being, my heart thoughts to God, as I'm giving him the truth that's in my heart, do you know what he responds with? He makes me to know wisdom. Are you hearing me? And from the very place where you express the truth, God, I'm not that husband I want to be. Yes, I know that I'm not the husband I was a year ago, but I'm way off where I should be, God. And it's hurting me, it's hurting her, it's hurting the children. And then suddenly, as you're pouring out your heart like water, you'll hear wisdom from heaven about the one little step that you can take right now. Say right now. God's always got a now answer. He's always got something for the moment. You see, it's not God who says to you, you need to be completely different to the way you are now. That's not God. God's the one who says, do this right now. And you're going to see the transformation. Just this one thing is enough for right now. You know, back to David. If we can just turn to Psalm 16, verse 9. Psalm 16, verse 9. You see, the thing about David, because he was constantly real with God, because he was constantly expressing himself, pouring his heart out before the Lord. That's why a man who went through absolute awful situations. You think about it. He was homeless. He was living in caves. His spiritual dad wanted to kill him. And his father-in-law, same man. But, you know, if your father-in-law literally is chasing after you with a gun. You know, obviously they didn't have guns there. But, you know, literally sending out hitmen after him. Are you hearing me? You know, his brothers put him down. His mum and dad, you know, the Bible suggests that his mum and dad rejected him. You know, there is so much that this guy went through. But he knew how to connect with God on the big things and on the little things. You know, just last week, you know, about a week ago, I whinged a couple of times to my husband. How much longer can I have to keep pushing? How much longer is this thing going to be like a push? And he said, always. You know, sometimes it's not the words of encouragement that you want. I said, how long is it going to feel like this that we're just really having to push? He said, it's always going to feel like that, my love. And that's what you're made for. So get used to it. So I'm like, that didn't help. You know, don't talk to someone who's going to give you the truth. Sometimes we just want a lie. Have you ever really wanted a lie? I won't go into the, you know, there was one time I was, you know, anyway, it's too awful to tell the story, but I was one time being stitched up after I'd been cut open, and I'm being stitched up, and I said, oh, you're nearly finished. And the guy goes, no. I'm like, do you know, there are moments for lies. Anyway, my husband didn't lie to me, and that was really unhelpful. You know, so what did I do? You know, the next morning I got into the presence of God. Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired, Lord. And after I'd said it, you know, Benji, when he was a little boy, do you remember this, Roro? When he was like, he was talking very, very young. And, you know, he must have often heard us that if he was naughty, we would, you know, one of the other parents or Roro, you know, someone would say, oh, I think he's tired. So, you know, he obviously would listen to this. And then really early on, he developed this thing. So, you know, age 18 months, we'd go, Benji, that's naughty. Now, bearing in mind, Roro was his nanny at the time. And she's Kenyan, if you hadn't noticed. So he developed a little Kenyan accent. So up until about age 3, he had a Kenyan accent. Naomi had a Zimbabwean accent. And Benji, a Kenyan accent. Abby seemed not to, you know, absorb accents, but she's brilliant at it now. Anyway, so if we were telling him off, you know, age 18 months, you know, just walking and waddling about, Benji, don't do that, he'd just go, I'm tired. He was so cute. And do you know what we've done? We've recorded little snippets of him, well, my husband has, of him like age 1 and 2 and 3, and then he'll say on the, Benji, say hello to everyone at your wedding, and he'll go, hello. I don't think he knows any of this, so don't tell him. But you see, I, you know, a week ago, I'm just feeling tired. The husband didn't help. Too much truth. So I got in the presence of God. You know, not as bad as the day after in America, but, you know, Lord, I'm tired. I just feel tired. Lord, it's a lot. And, you know, a couple of minutes, a couple of tears, and then I get back up. Do you know, I'm feeling so full of joy and strength. I'm ready for life. Are you hearing me? Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. You know, yesterday at our Healed for Life Champions Day, if I could have Aaron or Joe, yeah, great Joe, whoever's there. You know, at our Champions Day, a lady came up to me at lunchtime. And she said to me, 31 years ago, I gave birth to my gorgeous son, who I love very, very much. But he was Down's. And it broke my heart. Because I wanted him to be able to enjoy life the way I can. And she said, at first, I got very offended at God and angry. And, you know, just would resist his presence. And, you know, eventually I just moved on. She said, for the first time in 31 years, she said, I felt like God gave me permission to tell him how I really felt. For the first time in 31 years, she said, I got totally and utterly healed of this disappointment, this discouragement. She said, I've never, ever felt as free as I do today. What had she done? Just one thing. She probably said it to hundreds of other people if they ever asked. But she never said it to the one who could do something about it. I want to encourage you today. We're all in different parts of our journey towards a very real prayer life. But I want to encourage you today. Just why don't you shut your eyes? If you know, do you know what? I've been that internalizer. I've been someone that just pushes it down, bottles it up, ignores it, dismisses it, doesn't even listen. If that's you and you're saying, do you know what? Today, I want to start a new journey. You know, you may have already been a bit of a, you know, you've been getting better, but you're saying, I really get it today and I want to start expressing myself to God. Would you just, with your eyes shut, just lift your hands in the presence of God. Just lift your hands up and just talk to the Lord in these moments. And I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. You know, we need to learn how to express ourselves. So just say to him right now, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. I need help. I need help to begin a brand new prayer life where I truly do identify, understand, and express the issues of my heart. You know, not a week later, not a month or even a decade later. But Lord, teach me to come to you daily, to come to you when life has thrown stuff at me. Teach me to have a prayer life like David had, and therefore to develop a joy and a strength like he had too. Father, I pray for each one of your sons and your daughters in this place. Father, I pray, Lord God, for a fresh wind that will blow into their prayer lives. Lord, those of them that have realized what they're carrying right now, just that there's something that came up even while I was ministering, something you've been carrying. Right now, don't miss this moment. Just tell God what you realize. Maybe it's guilt you've been carrying and you've just tried to avoid facing it. Maybe it's disappointment. Maybe it's frustration, but right now in this moment, make a start to this new prayer life. And just tell the Lord in these moments, just tell him right now, God, this is how I feel. God, this is what's been bothering me. Lord, this is what's been just disturbing me, hurting me, frustrating me. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that you bring the answer. That you bring the answer, that you bring the answer. And just as we finish right now, if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I don't know God as my Father. I don't have Jesus living on the inside of my life, in my heart. I'm not a born-again Christian who knows what it is to have God as my best friend. And you're saying, I want to know him like that. Just while everyone else is praying, if you're saying, I want to invite Jesus into my heart. I want to make a brand new start today and give my life to Jesus Christ. Just while everyone else is praying, would you lift your hand up high so that I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, I once did that, but I've just backslidden and I've not been walking with the Lord and I want to rededicate my heart to him. Would you lift your hands high? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to lead you all in prayer. We'll all pray together and we'll join you in prayer. So if you just say, Heavenly Father, let's say it together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you've got a plan for my life. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Come and be my Lord. Come and be my Savior. I'm sorry for all wrongdoing. I ask you to forgive me and to give me a brand new life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus.